Hola amigos, this is Don Alejandro de la Vega. Welcome to Tropical Paradise Waits. Do you ever dream of living in paradise? Dream no more, my friend. If you are planning on living in the tropics, or if you are a full-on expat, this show is the show for you. Listen and learn how to make the best of your leisure time. It takes more than a plane ticket to fully enjoy the tranquil lifestyle. It is a state of mind. Let's live a better life. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Positive reviews help us rise up the ranks. Please scroll down and click support this podcast. Gracias, and enjoy the show.
Way, way, way in K-Low-K, which is Franco coming to you from the Cajon de la Loma, which is the street you're looking at and the split screen. That's from my third floor balcony here in my studio. This podcast is available audio only on any platform, anywhere you get your podcast, as it should be. But Spotify offers this video option, so I'm going to go ahead and fool around with this. So if you're the kind of person who likes to watch a video while you're listening to a podcast, just go right to Spotify and that's what you'll find. The last program, we talked about the Dream Project and the Bachata Academy, which is a school that does a really lot for this community, for the children in the community. But I want to talk specifically about the Bachata Academy part because it's a music school. They teach bachata, cumbia, merengue, salsa, and now they're even teaching the kids some blues, thanks to me. But anyway, they work out of a rented two-story house, and they have a little area in the back where outside where they have some overhangs, like they stay out of the rain and they practice in there. And they really need and they deserve a new facility. The cool part is they already have the land. Now all they have to do is build the building. And of course, they're going to need help doing that. Now, this is 100% legitimate. I mean, what this program does for these children, it's just really hard to believe. You have to see it for yourself. So I'm really looking for that one multimillionaire. Yeah, multimillionaire, you, who's in the position to donate that kind of money. Come down and take a look and see how legit it is. I'm sure that you would agree it's far better than putting your money toward a museum or NPR or something like that. And I guarantee you'll have a great time while you're down here. So come on down and take a look. I really mean it. It'd be really worth your while. You can find all the information, all the direct links and websites and such will be printed in the episode notes. Also in the episode notes will make it a lot easier is my direct email and my WhatsApp number. So you can email me direct or you can call me on WhatsApp or you can text me on WhatsApp. And then I'll direct you and try to answer your questions and direct you to the right people. Now, a couple weeks ago, this dude approached me by the name of Archer, and he's an independent filmmaker. He didn't give me a whole lot of information. He seemed pretty professional, but he's doing a documentary or something about this area. And he sat and did an interview with me. And I don't know if it's going to wind up nowhere, if he sells it, if it's going to wind up on Netflix, who knows, we'll see. But I have the audio from that video, and that's going to be today's program. So you go ahead and watch the world go by on the Cajon de la Loma. And let's see what Archer has to say. Oh, Archer.
All right, man. Thanks for doing this again. This is super informal anyways. So, you know, really this is just like chatting and kind of understanding about whatever, how you got to Cabarete. Talking a little bit about the music scene, because obviously, like, you played last night, but it doesn't have to be all about that
okay.
stuff. So, you know, just whatever. Just chat, man.
Life in general. What's happening
around
here?
Yeah, man. Life in general. Why you came to Cabarete, you know, why you stay. The good, the bad, the ugly, man.
Well, I first visited Costa Rica, and I enjoyed the Latin American scene down there. In Costa Rica, I went back there 3 or 4 times. It started to get pretty expensive, and it was a bit dangerous, and someone suggested that I came here. And I came here like 13 years ago, and I've been to a few other places, and I always used to come back here.
So you'd been around South, like Central and South America?
Around Central and South America. I've been to Asia.
Where are you originally from?
Buffalo, New York.
Okay, nice.
I've been so far around the globe that if I kept going, I'd be on my way back, and I chose to settle here.
But why here versus anywhere else? I mean, you know, there's beaches everywhere. There's Latin culture everywhere. You kind of seem like you're pretty well a seasoned traveler.
Well, I feel comfortable. There's a sense of community here in Cabaretti, especially here on the Callejon de la Loma. This is kind of considered the hood where I live.
Okay.
Mostly Dominicans live here. They have a little more respect for you when you live amongst them.
Yeah.
And I've also noticed it's not only me. There's people who come in and out of here every year, every season, who have the means they can go anywhere they want, and they choose to come back here.
Yeah. So why is this the hood, though? I mean, like, it's one block away from like the only intersection in town, you know, and all the nice places. I'm one block away, you know.
Well, the tourists and the gringos live on the beach.
Yeah.
It's affordability. And I lived on the beach for a while, and I prefer it down here.
Nice. And so, is Cabarete, you here to stay forever?
Am I here to stay forever?
Yeah.
Kind of looks that way at my age.
Predicting to go in the next couple years?
And I don't have plans on going anywhere.
Nice. So, we got to know each other through the music scene, right? And tell me a little bit about, like, you know, how that started, how that's kind of developing, what that's like over the sort of the seasons.
Well, Cabaretta is basically known for water sports, kite surfing, windsurfing.
That's why I came down here.
Kite surfing.
Yeah.
Mostly kite surfing. It's a really good place for kite surfing. And when I was first here, that was pretty much the main thing that drew people here. And then the music scene developed over the last decade or so. And it's just a place where I'd be willing to guess that there's more musicians per capita here than maybe anywhere.
Well, why is that? Like, there's such a strange phenomenon.
Don't know. I don't know, but it draws a lot of musicians.
From all walks of life, all parts of the world, or like?
From all over, and a lot of the Dominicans are pretty good musicians.
Yeah.
Now, right down the street here, there's the Dream Project, and they also have a
school. You said Dream Project?
Dream Project. They have a school called the Bachata Academy, and it's a wonderful place, and they teach the children. They have like 200 students down there.
And it's all locals, or is it like a big expat school?
Mostly all Dominicans and Haitian kids. And they're really good. Like the drummer in my band, Mama's Chicos, that's the band that plays Mondays at Cheers. Our drummer's 11 years old. He's an 11-year-old Dominican kid. And he's outstanding.
I've seen him, the one who plays his trumpet.
No, that's a different kid.
Oh.
Yeah. He's from England, but he's Polish. His mother's English, and his father's Polish.
It's pretty funny. Yeah,
he's phenomenal.
That's how I accidentally saw JR and then got in touch with you, because the kid came and hustled me on the beach.
Oh yeah.
And told me to come watch him practice.
Oh yeah, he's a go-getter, that kid.
So these musicians, I mean, is it like a pass-through type of city? I mean, do they come here and they stay and they practice their craft? I mean, like, what brings them here? Like, why do you say it's such a...
Again, they seem to return every season as well.
Yeah.
And as far as I really have a hard time calling myself a musician. I'm just like a guy who plays harmonica. I never sang in my life. And through friends here, I was introduced to a band, and I was welcomed into their band.
Did you not play before you came here?
No, just harmonica. Once in a while, I'd sit in with a band or play around a campfire. I never did it before. A lot of the guys I grew up with played harmonica, too, and I'm no better than they are. But I took the extra step.
You're just a musician at heart.
You know? Well, actually, I'm known as a musician now.
Are you?
Yeah. And in the last couple of years, I actually took voice lessons. I'm singing now. When we do our show, I sing like 12 songs.
Yeah.
And I get through. There's better singers.
Nice. Yeah. You just love it then, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's great fun. More fun than I ever had.
Yeah, absolutely. So you never played at all when you were like growing up in Buffalo or anything? You just did it?
Not really.
Like as of what, like a couple years ago?
Oh, no. I've been playing harmonica for a long time.
But okay.
I never really played professionally or in a band or anything other than sitting in once in a while with somebody or maybe an open mic.
Gotcha.
You know, well, not really.
Well, there you go then. No excuses for anybody who needs to like, whatever.
What's going for me is they know I'm not really doing it for the money. So they can trust me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, who do you think is like? I mean, like, are you part of the top band on Cabarete?
Well, the guys I have playing with me right now are really top notch guys. I've got JR's on keyboard, but he's leaving soon. He's French Canadian. And then I've got a bass player, his name is Frank, and he's a great bass player. He's also a captain in the Puerto Plata Police. And Ronaldo De La Cruz is my lead guitar player. He's fantastic. And I have the young drummer.
So you just got this eclectic group of people right. That just like, whatever.
Now, having said that, my original band, the Bandits of the Apocalypse, the guys who allowed me to join the band, and they really didn't need a harmonica player, okay? But we had a special thing going, and well, we have, because we'll be back. We're a seasonal band, because a couple of the players, they leave, they go back to Canada and Germany and whatnot. But we had a kind of a special thing, because we were really excited about it. And our bass player and our lead guitar player, they're really good. They're the foundation. And actually, the drummer, too. He's not like a showboat drummer, but he keeps the beat, which is very important. And like I said, we're excited about it, and we all know a lot of people. Peter's the front man, and he's a crazy son of a bitch. He's a perfect front man, because he's out of his fucking mind.
Yeah.
So he's great. He's a great front man, very personable.
Yeah.
And so when we play, we draw really big crowds, bigger crowds than I've ever seen a band since I've been here draw.
I mean, that place was rocking last night, you know? I mean, and you said that even last night, that wasn't even as packed as you usually get.
No, that
like,
was a slow
season.
Night.
Yeah,
that was. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. And do you get like paid for that stuff too?
Open mic?
Yeah.
No.
I saw some.
We get free beer.
I saw one of the guys passing the hat around, asking for tips.
Well, that guy, all right, that was Cornelius. He's a Dominican, and that's actually his job. He walks the beach and plays music.
Yeah, okay.
So guys like Cornelius, we kind of give them a pass and let them. That's what he does for a living.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So do they give him a little bit of a cut or no?
Yeah, they give him a little change.
Gotcha.
You know, yeah, Johnny, who owns Shiboa, he's pretty generous too with drinks, and you know, once in a while he'll cop me a pizza or something like that.
Yeah. What'd you do before like Cabarete? Like, what do you do for work? I don't even know.
Well, I was always in the hospitality business.
Okay.
I owned a restaurant. I tended bar. I waited tables. I managed places, and I really enjoyed that. And I think that's where I developed my people skills. But for the last, well, like the last 15 years before I retired, I started a motorcycle magazine.
Nice.
And that went really well.
You have a motorcycle here?
Right now, no. The first time I've been riding motorcycles my whole life. And I just gave up my motorcycle maybe 6 months ago.
You could have a fallback career as a taxi driver, moto taxi driver. I can give you a recommendation to one of the guys on the corner.
I was actually riding a moto today. I had a friend of mine, I borrowed one today.
I saw somebody crash. Somebody.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I'm not riding it.
Dude, I was on. They were hauling ass when they were doing it, and I was taking video, and I was like, and I had already seen the crash, and I was like, man, I'm gonna split my fucking head open.
Well, my first interest was Harleys, so I rode Harleys for a long time. And they're just not really practical here.
Yeah.
We don't need one.
Yeah.
And
it might impress some people though with how loud they are compared to everything else around here.
It's loud enough here. We don't need any more noise here.
It's the loudest fucking town I've ever been in.
Do you have filters right now on these?
They just whatever they pick up.
Okay, they pick up all the motos going by right now.
They won't pick it up like too crazy, I don't think.
This is a loud street I live on.
Yeah, no kidding. That street and then this whole thing. So, Cabarete, you've been here, you've kind of seen a lot, you've been through a lot. What's like the, you want to start with the good or you start with the bad?
Well, you really have to learn. When I was first here, I heard the term, you got to learn how things work around here. And I really didn't understand that. And another thing that I was told was, remember, they're all Dominicans. So if you have a conflict with a Dominican and you call a Dominican cop, they're both still Dominicans. So you got to be careful and you got to remember that you are a guest in this country.
Did you ever have an issue with that?
Not really. No. No, not really.
Know anybody who did?
There's been, I mean, as far as crime goes here, like I said, once you learn how things work, you're a lot safer. We've all been pickpocketed, and most people have been broken into. I've been broken into.
You've been broken into here?
Not here.
Okay.
Not here, but another place where I lived. Usually when you get broken into, it's your own fault. It's because you let somebody in your house.
Let somebody?
Yeah, you let somebody in your house, usually a girl.
Oh, shit.
And then, you know, she would scope it out. Unlock a door or something of that nature.
Gotcha.
But as far as, like, violent crime, you don't see much of that.
I mean, what happened in the last 15 years? I mean, I'm sure a lot's changed on the Islanders. Has it just kind of stayed and remained kind of a smaller town? I mean, have you seen crazy growth, relatively speaking?
Crazy what?
Crazy growth in the city?
No, actually, it's gone the other way around. It was way busier when I was first here. And then it started getting really slow, and then the pandemic came, and then it was really dead, and now it's picking back up again now. But it is seasonal. You got to remember that the off-season, like now, is slow.
Yeah. Which one do you prefer?
I prefer season.
Yeah?
Yeah.
More people?
More people. And like I said, I'm in a band. So
more parties?
Playing in a band to a small crowd or playing to nobody is not fun.
Do they ever let you tour? Do you ever tour with the bands?
Like outside of this town?
Yeah, like go to Santo Domingo or wherever.
Actually, we had an opportunity to go to Barbaro.
Yeah.
And it was...
Barbaro?
It's Punta Cana.
Okay.
Basically, the city is called Barbaro, but most people know it as Punta Cana. We had an opportunity, but it paid a lot of money, too. But by the time we get everybody together and get transportation and...
This wasn't worth it?
Yeah, it wasn't worth it.
You got to take that first step. Sometimes you got to pay your dues.
Well, the lady approached me, so that was one thing that stopped me, is because I would have been responsible. And musicians aren't always the most responsible people in the world. You know, they're not the most dependable.
That's why it's the reverse correlation with creativity. You know, you get a lot of entertainment factor, but you don't get a lot of reliability.
Right. I think that's how I maintain my value in the band, because I can take care of that band. Like, I'm the least talented person in the band I'm in right now, for sure. But I'm the front man. I'm the one people come to see. Because people know me.
Hello.
Does that dynamic really exist? I mean, that competitive aspect of, like, whatever? Because, I mean, like, that thing is open mic. You know, people are, whatever, coming in and just having some fun.
You mean amongst musicians?
Yeah, amongst musicians.
Who gets the spotlight and all that?
Yeah.
It's brutal. Yeah, terrible.
Even for, like, people who just throw themselves together?
Yeah, it exists. I mean, you get. I'm learning now. I'm still learning. Like I can dial in the PA system and stuff now. I can do the sound. Before I would never even think about that.
Yeah, but before you just were whatever a lost.
But I learned. You get the sound all dialed in, and everything's even and right, and then the guys just turn their guitars on.
And then they just turn the guitars on.
Yeah,
yeah, super easy. So all the prep work is fine, right. And then whatever lets you go. So you're slowly moving up the ranking in the bands, and pretty soon you're gonna be on top.
I've gained I've gained some respect.
That's good.
Yeah, I've gained some respect. But I still don't claim to be any more than I am.
I mean, on the island, you said that there's how many musicians coming through here?
Oh, during season?
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
How many people do you think are living here full time, you said?
Like, who are here now?
Yeah.
There's still quite a few here now. There's probably close to 100 here now. I mean, well, if you include, we get guys coming from Puerto Plata and stuff, too, who come to open mic and play in my band. And then there's Sosua. There's a whole another group of musicians in Sosua.
So everybody, it's very regional then, huh?
Yeah.
So, like, Puerto Plata is probably the biggest regionally, then Sosua, then Cabarete. So you're in kind of the smaller market, or would you say it hits above its weight?
I still think per capita there's more here in Cabarete for whatever reason. I don't know.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Just because maybe it just ties in with grab my guitar and go kite surfing type of thing. You know, it ties into that kind of like that free life. You know, the kind of people who are drawn to the beach and stuff are also drawn to music and you know.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Are you a kite surfer as well?
Am I? No.
No?
No.
Not going to pick that one up too and gain more respect?
Well, when I was younger, I know I would have tried it. And when I got here, I thought about it and I talked to a lot of people and, you know, I know that with the 12-meter kite, the 18-meter kite, and the wind, and the lines, and all that stuff. And I realized it was a big money pit.
Yeah, it is a huge
money pit. I windsurfed once. I got up on the board and windsurfed.
It's a money pit, and also it's an injury. It's an injury waiting to happen. Yeah. Pit.
Now, they tell me that kite surfing is actually easier than windsurfing.
It is.
But I stood on the board once, and I went.
Oh, wing surf or wing foil?
No, not foil.
Yeah, wing foils.
That's a different deal, man. I don't know how.
I haven't wing surfed yet. I don't know.
I don't know how they do that, man.
Yeah.
I don't know how they get up on that.
Are most of the musicians, are they kite surfers as well? You said.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them. But a friend of mine, he had the windsurfing board on the beach one day, and he kept on saying, "Come on, try it," and I really didn't want to.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that's because they're just like. There's like an independence factor to it. I mean, like, is there a personality that's like very overlaps with, I don't know, beach lifestyle, music, sort of the physical aspects of kite surfing?
Oh, I'm sure there is. Yeah, living on the beach and yeah, I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
And that feeling of freedom.
Yeah. So it got you here, huh?
But I did get on the windsurfer and I went. I don't know, maybe 20 yards or so, and I stood right up and went, and then I tried to turn or something, and that was it.
Yeah. You know, interesting. So what's next for you in the city?
Well,
got any big moves making?
I'm sorry?
Got any big moves that you're making?
No, man, I'm pretty settled in. I'm, like, really content. I've never been more content in my life than I am right now. Now, I mentioned to you that I do a podcast. And I have very few listeners, and the podcast, I started doing that to stay busy for fun, and like we talked about earlier, when the different programs and platforms and editing, it's a lot of work. And right now I'm working on a video podcast, because people always seem to be looking for videos.
For sure.
And hopefully I can use this footage right here as an audio for my podcast. And what's good about this is it'll give me an opportunity to let everyone know about myself, and then I can continue on with the podcast.
For sure. Well, you seem like a person that stays pretty busy.
I'm too busy. I create things to do to stay busy, and now I'm actually at the point where sometimes I'm stressed.
So it happens at the beach, man. You just, like, you come down here, you're like, I want to relax, and then next thing you know, you're too relaxed.
Well... I have a history of this. So I enjoyed motorcycles, so I made a business out of it.
Thank you, Arthur. Now, you'll see that cut out a little early. We finished the conversation, but we didn't realize that, I don't know, a battery ran out or something happened. I'm not sure what it was. So I'll just try to remember how we finished the conversation. We just closed it up at what my future plans were here. Oh, Paul Karen. He's a guy that mentioned before from the Bandits of the Apocalypse. And he helped me a lot to learn to sing. He actually sings in musicals. He lives in Sugar Hill, Harlem during the summer, and he lives here during the season. So, we talked about him for a little bit. Oh, let's see. Basically my future plans. I'm just here, man. I'm just waiting for my passport to run out, and it's about it. I mean, I'm really comfortable. I can walk around the neighborhood in my boxer shorts if I want. I drive without a license. I don't put the weights back on the rack. I can walk into the grammar school. I mean, it's all chill. It's all good, man. So stay tuned. Keep checking us out. Now, remember, if there's any subjects or anything that you want to talk about, we can always split screen like it did tonight. Except for you'd be on the split, and we can just have a conversation. It's super, super easy. I send you a link, you hit it, pops right up on your phone or your computer, whatever you're using. Say you're having a snowstorm and you want people to look at it. I'll send you the link, set your iPhone in the window, and we'll watch the snowstorm on the split screen. Don't forget to look in the episode notes and check out the Dream Project, Bachata Academy. Oh, we also have a Blues Foundation decal to show appreciation for any of your donations. Mama's Chica's koozie cups are out there. Tropical Paradise Weights. Cheers, Sosua and Cabaretti. And La Chabola. You can find them in any of these locations. The Beach Vendors have them. I think Kahuna's is going to get some printed up pretty soon. They're inexpensive, and they're nice to have. I found it's kind of hard to find a koozie cup around here. So that's kind of like one of my side hustles. Anyway, man, I really appreciate you listening. Keep coming back. Tell your friends. And let's have Pedro bring us out. Go ahead, Pedro.
Today's credits are as follows. Thank you to our program director,
Don Alejandro de la Vega.
Our editor and fact checker,
they'll never know.
Our chairperson,
Wilma Buttfit.
Fleet managers,
Lisa Carr.
Our charm consultant today is...
the always charming Miss Inga Tooth.
Tiki Bar Reviews by...
Hassan Ben Sober.
Our favorite divorce attorney...
Carmine, not yours.
Our credit counselor is...
Max Stout.
And our fashion designer today...
Hugh Jass.
And of course our download counter...
Adam Ilion.
If you enjoyed the show, help us continue by scrolling down and clicking support for this podcast.